Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How y'all doing this morning? You doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet or meet you, my name's Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising His name. Listen, I say it every Sunday, and I'm never going to stop saying it. There's literally no place I would rather be than right here with you all, doing exactly that, praising God and worshiping His name. Obviously, this side of heaven, heaven's having a way better worship experience than we will ever experience here on earth, but I'm happy to be here with you all, and heaven's the goal one day, right? Amen. Well, listen, I want you to we're going to take a moment and just honor some gifts in the room, and those gifts being our worship team. They're phenomenal, and not only our worship team, but our whole entire A-team, the people that serve week in and week out. We have 7 worship experiences, well, 6 now. We had one earlier in the next 3 days, and you get to be a part of that, and the people that serve you week in and week out, they make it happen. They're making it happen, not me at all, not one bit. We have a wonderful team around us, so thank you to each and every one of you for what you do and what you were about to do to help people experience the wonder of Christmas. Listen, we're kicking off Christmas week right now, and I understand that this is a joyful time. This is an exciting time. This is a time that's full of His peace and His presence and family and friends and just joy in abundance. But I also understand the flip side of that. I just told you my post-Jesus Christmases. My pre-Jesus Christmases were full of anxiety and fear and depression and fighting and anger. And listen, that's what they were full of. Because I didn't know Jesus yet, and my family didn't know Jesus. And then I started coming to church because of a girl who's now my wife. And I had no idea that Jesus had plans to change everything. And every Christmas thereafter, I had no idea. You know, have any of you ever heard of, they're called break rooms, like you go and break stuff. You could throw bricks through windows and throw vases and hit stuff with a hammer. We went there once as a Christmas staff party. And I was like, I don't need to go into that room. That was what my Christmases looked like growing up. I don't need to go in there. I have no reason to go into that room. And everybody laughed. You guys didn't laugh. 2 of you laughed. But it's funny. I can laugh at it now. Because now I know what this season is about. I get to experience it. I have the biggest family in the world. And I'm not talking about the family I'm married into. I'm talking about the family that I get to serve with. So your perspective on Christmas and this week, I'm believing that it will be changed. I'm believing that we all leave this place today, and if you're going to attend tomorrow night for the candlelight or even Tuesday night, I pray that your perspective is completely changed. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in today. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be. Thank you for the honor and privilege it is to share your word today. And God, I pray that each and every one of us would understand the wonder of Christmas is knowing that Jesus came into the darkest place of the world and brought light. Lord, I thank you that we will leave here today exuding the light that is the gift that we received. God, I pray that we would all have an excitement about God's saving grace, that we would all have an excitement about who He is and who we get to be because of Him. Lord, what a wonder this is and what an adventure it truly is. Lord, help us to walk in it all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, as we continue to walk today, I pray that we get to experience everything that I just spoke about. And we're going to talk about the Christmas story today. We're going to read some verses in the Bible, and as we do, I want you to understand that we're not just reading a story. We're talking about a story that changed the world and is still changing the world. We're talking about the fact that we get to walk this out every single day of our lives. So when we think about today's story, when we think about who God is and who we get to be because of him, I want you to place it into a personal perspective for you. What would you do? How would you react? You know, we're talking about a man in the Bible and his faith, the way he understood things, the way he walked things out, changed everything. Changed everything. When he understood that Jesus was coming to extinguish the light and bring the light and extinguish the darkness, it changed everything. There was a time whenever there was complete silence from God. Completely silent. Nothing was heard. And you may be in this room today and you may be thinking, I don't hear from God. I can't hear from God. Where is God? Why is he so silent in my life? There are people that have experienced that same thing in the Bible, and we're going to talk about how they walked it out. Zechariah is somebody that we're going to talk about today, and he experienced doubt. He asked the question, where is God? He asked the question, God, why are you not speaking? He asked all these questions, but Jesus wants to break the silence in his life and also in yours. Jesus wants to speak to your heart today. Jesus doesn't want your Christmas to be the same as it always has been. And I'm talking to every Christian in the room too. There's more. He has more. When we're in darkness, God brings light. It's as simple as that. When we feel alone, God is there. Jesus breaks the silence that people were experiencing, and he did it through Zechariah. Let's talk about him a little bit. He's John the Baptist's dad. He was unable to have kids. There was pain, there was doubting, there was lifelong disappointment in so many ways, but he kept on serving in the temple. He kept on walking in the calling that was on his life. He was faithful in the midst of silence. He was faithful in the midst of pain. He was faithful in the midst of suffering, no matter what. You know, that type of person gets my attention. The people that just get everything that they pray for right when they pray for it, okay, that's great. But everybody loves an underdog. Everybody loves a person that when they're not getting whatever they pray for, when they're not getting whatever they think they want or they need, that gets my attention. When they can continue to serve faithfully year in and year out, that gets my attention. This ordinary faithful man, this aging priest, he steps into the temple to burn some incense, no spotlight, no crowd, no people, just a faithful, obedient man continuing to serve in the temple. And in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of what he always did, God created a supernatural, divine moment. I'm praying and believing that God does the same thing for so many of you. Why? Because we live in the Mon Valley area. And some of you, it's just tradition to go to church on Christmas. I'm just doing what I always do. And I'm praying that God speaks in the mundane moments, that God speaks to you through this time, that he interrupts your normal, ordinary, everyday life. Some of us in this room, listen, we're just going through the motions of Christmas. We're just fighting through. We're just trying to get through the next week, and then New Year's comes, and then everything's going to be better January 1st. No, it's not. If you don't change your perspective about who's in control, everything changes in this moment. The first person that God speaks to about Jesus, about the Christmas story, will soon fall silent, and he will learn to listen before he can proclaim. This prophet, this man who spoke things. Luke 1, 19 through 20. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel, stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Listen, there's some people in life, they're just so negative. They're so negative, and they lack faith in so many areas. Now, don't look around the room, but you know that people like that exist. It's not you or I, right? Sometimes we feel like it's better to just be quiet. It's better to just not speak. You can't be silent about the gift that you've received in Jesus. You can't be silent if you've fully received everything that he has for you. But we do need to learn to listen. We are in a culture that we're so quick to speak. We love speaking, whether it is verbally or with our fingers online. We love to speak. We love to say stuff. Maybe you need to get to a portion where you're really good at listening. You get really good at listening. You're focused on listening. And you're like, well, I don't hear God whenever I listen. Maybe you heard him before and you still haven't done the last thing he told you to do. So why would he speak again? All of you are shaking your head when I said, I know some negative people. You're like, yeah. But when I say, have you done the last thing that God told you to do? Even when prayers feel unanswered, even when promises feel delayed, even when hope feels muted, what do you do? How do you react? In Luke's gospel account, he tells us right when the Christmas story begins, Israel has not heard from God or received a prophetic word from God in over 400 years. No prophet, no vision, no fresh word, silence. And then God speaks. And guess who God speaks to? Not to a king, not to a first general, but an aging priest who's quietly serving in the temple. An everyday, ordinary, obedient, disciplined man. That's who God chose to speak to. Zechariah, literally in Hebrew, means Yahweh has remembered. God has remembered. Are you in this room and you feel forgotten? Are you in this room and you feel like nobody sees me? God's silent. It's better for me to just be quiet and stay silent. Maybe you're in this room today and you do not feel seen. But God wants to speak to you and let you know that he sees you and he remembers you and he will never forget you. He gave everything for you. I believe that over the next 72 hours, there's going to be a lot of people that feel remembered because they meet the one who gives life and joy and peace and forgiveness. That's what I'm praying for and believing for, that people's Christmases and every day thereafter will be changed forever. Before Mary, before Joseph, before the shepherds, before angels in the sky, Zechariah. The Christmas story started with him. But guess what? He struggles with it, just like we would all struggle. Have I encountered an angel? Is God speaking to me? He starts to ask questions. He starts to have doubts. Now, for a man as mature as he is, both in age and in faith, his response doesn't match the rest of his life. His response did not match who he was and how he was walking. His response should have been in faith instantly, but he asked questions. He should have recognized what was being asked of him and what was happening. But just like him, often we struggle. Often we try to make sense of what God's doing in our lives and the world around us. But we can't. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His timing is definitely not our timing. There's a saying that if you tell God your plans, most of the time he just laughs. Because his plans are bigger. His plans are so much bigger. But when God speaks, what's your response going to be? God's been silent. And now he gives Zechariah a gift disguised as what? Discipline. He gave him a gift disguised as discipline. And now this silence was broken. But he was called to be silent until the belief within him grew. Months later, when his son John is born, Zechariah opens his mouth, not with an explanation, not with regret, but with a prophetic praise. Luke 1:67. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. He spoke into existence what was going to happen and what he experienced and what he was experiencing with God. This Holy Spirit moment, this prophetic word, this breaking of the silence, when we learn to listen, we have enough faith to hear God. And then whenever we hear, we have enough faith to walk it out. God releases something into us when we still ourselves and listen and seek him. Zechariah was getting to walk in the blessing now, but he had to be silent for a while. And he also had to experience silence. You know, we have a lot to pray for. We have a lot to believe for. We have a lot to chase after God for. And that's why in January, I want you to already be prepared for it. We're going to start the year off by praying and fasting. We're going to pray because we have a lot to seek God for as a church. We have a lot to seek God for as families, as individuals. We have a lot to seek him for. So we're going to pray and believe for those things, but we're also going to fast. Now, I'm going to urge you to start preparing now what you're going to fast. And this isn't just so that you can fast and hopefully get rid of some of the Christmas cookies you're going to consume over the next, you know, 15 days or so. This is so that you can tell your flesh to get behind you, and the only thing that sustains you is God. Not everything else. Now, you might be like, I can never fast. I can't do that. I need food. I work in a physical environment, or I do this. I get that. You don't have to do a complete fast. You can do a Daniel fast, which is you only eat certain types of foods, and it does not include Snickers and potato chips. And listen, the first time I did the Daniel fast, I knew I was allowed potatoes. I knew I was allowed salt. I knew I was allowed sunflower seed oil. And I picked up Cape Cod potato chips in Target, and I read the ingredients. And it was potatoes, salt, and sunflower seed oil. I was like, babe, I'm getting these. I was like, I'm getting these. And she's like, you can take that up with God. And I said, I remember she walked into the kitchen my first Daniel fast, and I was eating lentil soup. Nobody gets lentil soup to be enjoyed. And she's like, you can't have that. I was like, why? She's like, it's a legume. I was like, what is a legume and why am I not allowed to have them? You remember that? You don't remember? He couldn't have just lied and said, yeah, I remember that. Our first year of dating, I gave Rachel one single rose on the month anniversary of us dating. And then on our 1 year anniversary, I gave her a dozen roses. And Rachel, I told this story one day. She's like, no, you didn't. And her mom was standing next to her and she's like, yeah, sweetie, yeah, he did. He did. You remember that, Deb? Thank you. She remembers. Thank you. Listen, what are you praying and believing for? I didn't share that during the first worship experience, babe. I saved that for you. Praying and seeking God, it is a part of us and it's a part of our worship to God. You know, we're called to worship all the time. And I'm not saying like you're called to take the worship team with you and have them travel around you and sing songs like you're, you know, Belle and Lady the Beast walking down the street. No, I'm talking about your life should be a song. The way you conduct your life should be praising him and worshiping him. Why? Because worship recenters us. Worship recalibrates us. It refocuses my faith in God. Everything that we do unto the Lord does those things, recenters us, refocuses us, recalibrates us. And our faith can be challenged through all of those things. When we give of our time, when we give of our talents, when we give of our treasure, it refocuses us, it recalibrates us, it removes the distractions so that we can focus on him and what he's doing. Verse 68, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David. This redemption, our ransom has been paid in full. You are free. You are justified. If you've met Jesus, you've received those things, and now you're getting to walk out this process called sanctification. But the payment for your life has been made. You have been redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Are you walking around? Are you... I looked at the elder of our church, and I was getting ready to go somewhere, and I knew it would feed my flesh, so I'm going to leave that back there.
Amen.
I'm not going to mess around. Are you walking around? It almost happened again by accident. Are you walking around, and your life is shouting that you've been redeemed? I'm not talking about going down to Giant Eagle or Aldi or Walmart or Target or any of those places, and standing on your Turner's tea crate and shouting. I'm talking about when you go into those places, is your life speaking louder than any words? I know that it's busy out there. I almost got hit by a car yesterday at the waterfront in front of Target. I'm not talking about my car. I'm talking about me. Just walking across the street, and it was like Frogger, and I was a big frog. Listen, they tried. And I thank you so much. Be blessed, you know. And I walked in, and then I got stopped after I did some shopping. Apparently, my top coat and my suit that I had on, because I just left a funeral, was very suspicious.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I was joyful. I invited the security guard to church. He needed it. He looked stressed. Okay. But is your life shouting redemption? Is your life shouting that you know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father pleading your case? Do people know that you're free, or are you still bound? If you're free, it says, we're told, let the redeemed say so. Let us say so that we're redeemed, that we've been bought back. And this Christmas, we get the amazing opportunity of literally paying people's ransom. Later on in our worship experience, you're going to get to watch a video of Pastor Gary Powden, our missions pastor, who is going to lead us in how we get to buy people out of slavery in Pakistan. People that are working in brick kilns that receive loans from the brick kiln owners, and they will never be able to pay them back. So their families are enslaved. Their children are enslaved. Their wives are enslaved, and they have to work tirelessly to pay back the brick kiln owners. $3,000 is the ransom for most families. $3,000. They will never be able to earn it back because the interest is huge. They will never be able to pay it back because they're making pennies a day. You're going to get to see a video where Pastor Gary is standing with the family that he and his family freed. If we're redeemed, let's redeem. We have a goal to free 10 families. 10 families. And Pastor Gary in February, he's going to Pakistan. He's going to walk into the brick kiln and hand them a check and buy families. And we all get to be a part of it. Are we redeemed? Then let's say so. Let's say so. Matt will walk us through that a little bit later. But as we understand what God's doing and what he's promised us, it changes things. Verse 70, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago, now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. Verse 72 and 73, he has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. Listen, this covenant language, God is doing what he promised. He spoke it to Abraham in verse 30, verse 73, through the prophets. He talks about that in verse 70, through David's royal line, verse 69. Jesus is plan A, and we're being reminded of it. We got to go tell people about it. We're plan A to spread the love of Jesus throughout our communities and our workplaces and our schools and our families and our friend groups. There is no other plan. Christmas is literally unfolding before us in these verses, and God's eternal promise is being revealed. But Zechariah doubted, yet God remained faithful. Listen, I doubt God and his timing all the time because I'm human. And then God shows up and shows who he is and shows that he's able and then he's faithful and he's going to do it again and again and again and again and again. Zechariah was the opposite response that we saw from Mary. He struggled. So I have a question. Are we interpreting God's faithfulness through our own circumstances, or are we interpreting God through his faithfulness? Which one is it? I love it now that you guys get to take pictures over there, and I'm not in every picture of... You know, on Monday night and Tuesday night, I'm going to have a big candle to light because you guys all get little candles, but you don't get photographed. And I'm just, there's a picture of me holding a little candle like this. And I was tortured for years. So now I said, I'm not holding a little candle anymore. I want a full-size candle. How are you interpreting God? Are you seeing through the lens of your circumstances? Or are you seeing through the lens of he is who he says he is and he will show up every single time? And his way is perfect. 74 and 75 of Luke 1, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and in righteousness for as long as we live. So we can serve God without fear in holiness, walk out the righteousness that he's called us to walk in, and everything changes. Our text begins to change. Zechariah now turns from Jesus the Messiah to his own son, John the Baptist. And he did not say, my son should be the lead. My son should be the one that everybody looks to. I've been faithful. He did not say that. Zechariah, the parent, his son would not be the one in charge or the first chair. And guess what? Zechariah embraced it. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. John the Baptist's calling was to prepare the way, to proclaim forgiveness, and to point people beyond himself. Once we are redeemed from the hand of the enemy, that is our calling as well. To proclaim the gospel, to point people to Jesus. And you may be like, how do I do that? I don't have a Turner's tea crate. I switched from soapbox to Turner's tea crate because nobody has soapboxes anymore. You can't stand on your soapbox. You could stand on your Turner's tea crate, though. But you should return them. They're not free. Okay? If you have a bunch of Turner's tea crates, take them back. Give them back. They spend $500,000 every year on crates. You know that? I've talked to Steve Turner. So how are you going to proclaim it if you're not going to go down to your local grocer and shout from your Turner's tea crate? This is it. They're on your seats. They're invites. Let the redeemed say so. Go out into the streets, into your families, into your friend groups, into your workplaces, and invite them into something that may change their life forever. This is how we proclaim. This is how we spread the gospel. There are people sitting at home right now that are scared, broken, depressed, and fearful, and all they're waiting for is somebody to invite them to something that's going to change. How do I know this? Because I was one of the ones that was invited, not to a candlelight worship experience, but to a worship experience in general. In January, the new year, when everything's supposed to be fresh and new. There are numerous families in this room that their eternities are different because of an invite. Don and Megs Kemper, they served you your coffee this morning. If they didn't serve it to you, they prepared it because they were here on Friday or Saturday doing so. Their family's changed because of an invite. My own sister-in-law, she's sitting in the back making sure that you can hear us today. She's on the production team. She and her life are changed forever because of an invite. My niece, Sunny, she will grow up in a family that knows who Jesus is, and they're going to point her to Jesus all the days of her life, all because of an invite. Sunday, June. Born on a Tuesday in July. Come on, somebody. When are you going to be born? Again. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what about today? Because remember, God uses ordinary, everyday people to change and do extraordinary things. When's your day? What point do you have to get to so that this Christmas and every Christmas thereafter will be different? Verse 78, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Has the light covered your life yet? Or are you still good with your darkness? Are you still good with your fear, your depression, your anxiety? What are you good with? You get to choose. God is waiting for you. He has your number. It's just whether or not you're going to answer the call. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your past, the leader into your future, let today be your day and let Christmas be changed forever. If I'm talking to you, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you will ever do, but definitely the best decision you'll ever make. And that's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day, a time, a place. But I need it. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass. Thank you, God. If you raise your hand, just keep it up. I'm going to pray over you. And anybody else, if you want to raise your hand, if you don't have a day, a time, a place, praise God. Hey, he can give his life to Jesus as many times as he wants. My man. Father God, I thank you for these two individuals. I thank you for the son that took his place at the table finally. I thank you for the daughter that's going to get to know her worth and her value within the kingdom. God, I thank you that they've repented of their past. They're going to receive your forgiveness and call you Lord into their future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, I prayed over you, but there's going to be some individuals that are going to help you walk through that, okay? And we have a Bible for you so that you can now fight with the Word of God. And we want you to remember this day because this is the day that can change everything for you. Listen, now we get to go be the light, right? We get to go proclaim the gospel to people, not only in our streets, but in a factory.